Isaiah chapter 42, we're going to read verses 17 to 25. And today you're going to be reading about the Lord's blind servant, which happens to be Israel. And they're blinded, as you're going to see in this passage, by their idolatry. Isaiah 42, verse 17, they shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Saying many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. And it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not. And it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us today with this great text here. We are asking you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. It is very, very important that your Holy Spirit fill us, that we be able to do this work under the power of God and not in the power of men. These folks didn't come here today to hear from a man and what a man has to say about God's words. They've come to hear from you, Father, in order to do that. Then the eternal Godhead who wrote the book is the one that has to teach it. So we're asking you to do these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 17 through 25 is, as I said, a passage that reveals to you a problem with Israel, and their problem is idolatry. They've made graven images, and now they've become like the graven images. Now here's the problem. The Jews as a people are so dependent on seeing in order to believe that they blind themselves to those things that you could only see by faith. You see, it's the nature of a Jew to require a sign. When Moses was called by God in the burning bush, he said, they're not going to believe me that I've seen you. So what did God do? Look in Exodus chapter 4. Look in Exodus chapter 4. What are we going to do? Look at Exodus chapter 4 and look at verse 1. Exodus chapter 4 and look at verse 1. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So what did God do? He gave him signs that they could see. Look in verse 8. Look in verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, which was that the rod became a snake and then became a rod again, they will believe the voice of the latter sign, that is, that his hand was put into his bosom and came out leprous, went back into his bosom and came out whole. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. They give them three signs and the voice of Moses in order to believe. All right? That's Jews. That's the way it is for Jewish people. It's a cultural thing. You understand cultural things. Okay? Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice it is the nature of Israel. It is the nature of Jewish people. They're like people from Missouri, the show me state. Show me and I'll believe it. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 22. Verse 22. Right? What does he say? The Jews, what's the next word? Require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. See, you don't have any symbols and signs inside of this church. You have a Bible and you believe what's written there and you believe that Jesus died for you and rose again, all that. The nature of a Jew is he's got to see it. Thomas is a perfect Jew. I don't care if they said he's not in that tomb. I don't care if all 11 of you have seen him and talked to him. Unless I can put my fingers in his hands and thrust my hand into to his side, I'm not going to believe. And that's just the way it is. All right, so that is a problem. It is a cultural thing, and God deals with that cultural thing. But it's a problem for them because they are then prone to put up images because they can see those and they'll follow those things. The nature of a Jew is they've got to see it before they're going to believe it. All right, well, in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 17, the Bible says they shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. But that's because those images are visible and they see them, they have a tendency to trust those more than they do God that you can't see by faith. Okay? Now this is a long-standing continuous problem with Israel. We're going to look at some of these places in the Bible where they've had trouble with this. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. All right, in Exodus chapter 32, Moses has gone up to be with the Lord. Moses has gone to be up with the Lord, and so they can't see him. Verse 3. Exodus 32:3, all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, brought them unto Aaron. He received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. That's a remarkable thing because they saw 10 plagues in Egypt. They saw the dividing of the Red Sea. They have seen God miraculously provide water and manna. Now that Moses is gone, they say, make us some gods that we can see. And they make the golden calf, said, these are the gods that got you out of Egypt. Isn't that amazing? It's shocking, but it's the nature, it's the culture, it's ingrained. Now, turn with me to Judges. Judges, so you've got the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers in Deuteronomy. And then after that you have Joshua, takes them into the promised land. And then you have Judges. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. And look at verse 11. Joshua has taken the Jews in. They have conquered the land. They are now settling in where their tribes have inherited. All right. And in Judges chapter 2, notice verse 10. Also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. That means they died. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So they hadn't seen all that stuff. Verse 11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Balaam is God, is the false god Baal, is represented as the sun god. It's a calf and then it has a sun between his horns. Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth is the female goddess, Baal the male god. Okay? All right, now turn with me to Judges chapter 18. Judges chapter 18. Judges chapter 18, look at verse 30. Now that you see the little cultural leaning of Israel toward idols, we're going to run a few references on our way back to Isaiah so you see how it plagued them. Judges chapter 18, look at verse 30. The children of Dan set up the graven image, and Jonathan the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan. Trouble is, the priests come from Levi. This guy came from Manasseh. Until the day of the captivity of the land, and they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. So there's images. I didn't read the whole story. A guy named Micah makes these images. The tribe of Dan steals the images, and they go up to Dan, which is in the northern part of Israel, set up this image, and though that image is worshipped up in Dan until the days of the captivity of the land. We're talking centuries. Amazing. All right, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 11. Who is the greatest king that Israel ever had? David. Who is the wisest king that Israel ever had? Solomon, David's son. Well, look about the wisest king that Israel ever had. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. The temple has now been built. The temple has been dedicated. God's glory has filled the temple with a cloud. And 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said to the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your hearts or heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. How'd you like to be in that mess, Eddie? And his wives turned away his heart, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. Now that set up in all of Israel and Judah a problem with idolatry from now till the time Isaiah writes. It continues to be a problem. Let me show you one more place, and then I'll give you some other references. 1 Kings chapter 12, look at verse 26. When the kingdom splits, Jeroboam takes the 10 northern tribes, Rehoboam, Solomon's son, takes the 2 southern tribes, and Jeroboam sets up idols in Israel. Verse 26, 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 26. Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again from their Lord, unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Now, following him, we find these idols in 1 Kings 14, 9, 2 Kings 10, 26, 2 Kings 17, 7 through 12, 2 Kings 21, 7, 2 Kings 23, 24. It gets so bad that when Manasseh rules, he sets up an image and puts it in the temple, which nobody would do before him. And once that happened, God said, that's it, I'm done. I can't. We ain't doing this anymore. And so that's the nature of the biggest problem that Israel had with God, is their idolatry. Now, go back to Isaiah chapter 42. We've laid a lot of groundwork. Because they have to see it, they are blind and they are deaf. Look at verse 18, Isaiah 42, 18. Hear ye deaf and look ye blind that ye may see. Now here's the strange thing. Today, science is worshipped as an idol in the United States. They want visible proof. And when they see it, they set it up as a god. And it blinds them to what you can only see by faith, which is God Almighty, through believing the words of God as He revealed Himself to us. So today we see similarly how somebody could get into the same problem they did. It blinds them. Faith only works in the absence of sight. You knew that, right? Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things, what? Yeah, what I said, what he said, what it says. Did I say it twice the same way and didn't say it right the first time? Okay, thank you. Not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We got it that time? Amen. You always have to remember what I meant to say. I was thinking about the next thing I was going to say so much that I wasn't thinking about what I was saying. But you've never been there. No. I think that right there is probably the biggest problem with communication in marriages. The Bible says when you and I walk, we are to walk by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. Their idolatry is what made them deaf. Their idolatry is what made them blind. We're going to look at two references. Turn with me to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. All right, in Psalm 115, look at verse 4. Psalm 115, look at verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them, watch it, are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Now you realize that when children watch television and they see a cartoon, they start mimicking the characters. You've seen that, right? Okay. You become what you like, what you see. Well, when they worship statues, which are deaf and which are dumb and which are blind, they become like what they've been worshiping. Deaf and dumb and blind. All right? That's why it's so very, very important for us to understand you don't need statues and gods as aids to worship because you're going to turn out like them, not like the God that made you. Okay? Look in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. They spent all this time in idolatry. Then Jesus Christ showed up. Matthew chapter 13. Who is Jesus Christ? Among other things, Jesus Christ is the express image of God. Jesus Christ is the only time God ever showed up in the form of a man in a body. Right? Could he see and speak and hear? Absolutely. They, but in their blindness, did not recognize him. So when he came to speak to them about their kingdom in Matthew chapter 13, look what happens in verse 13. Matthew 13, 13, that would be a verse you'd probably expect to find something bad. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Isn't that amazing? They're looking at God manifest in the flesh, can't even tell it. Because they've been so used to looking at dead statues until they themselves have become dead. It's an amazing transformation. Now let's go back to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 19 and verse 20. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but thou observeth not, opening the ears, but he heareth not? And it's a little bit strange, that question, because you look in there and you say, he's talking to somebody that's perfect, that's his servant, that is his messenger. But the truth is, this messenger, this blind messenger, is Israel. And I'll show you some cross references. The Lord's blind servant is Israel. Look in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, and look at verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. His servant is Israel, okay? But Israel is blind. When Jesus Christ was here, and he had that scathing rebuke of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, what did he keep calling them? Blind guides. Blind guides. He said it in Matthew chapter 23, verse 16, 17, 19, 24, and 26. Just so they wouldn't miss it. The Lord's blind servant is Israel. The Lord's deaf messenger that he sent is also Israel. You say, in what regard? They are the ones that are to be his witnesses that Gentiles would follow the Lord. Look in Isaiah chapter 43 and look at verse 12. Isaiah chapter 43 and look at verse 12. Verse 11, for the context, God says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. If anybody should know it, you should. Okay? And therefore, you are my witnesses. Look in Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. And look at verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. And look at this. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not nor know, that they may be ashamed. You're the guys I chose so the Gentiles could find me, and you turned in dead because you started worshiping statues. Now he says here, Israel is perfect, but not in the sense that they are sinless. Many times you're going to find God referring to somebody as perfect. Noah was perfect. Job was perfect, but they weren't sinless. They were perfect in that Noah was the right man for the ark and the job of putting the animals in the ark. Job was the perfect man for the demonstration of suffering and then reward as a tribulation saint. Israel is perfect as God's chosen to eventually lead the world and have other nations come to Jesus Christ. That is not acting very good right now. Okay? They are the chosen, the elect of God. So they see, verse 20, but they don't observe. They open their ears, but they can't hear anything. Now, verse 21, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 21. With all that said, the Lord says this, the Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. In other words, God's law becoming magnified and honorable, and God's righteousness magnified, is what's going to eventually turn this thing around. Because God's going to honor that, not the Jews in the shape they're in. You know who fulfills verse 21? Who fulfills verse 21? The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. Magnify the law and make it honorable. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. And you know what Jesus Christ is? Jesus Christ is His servant and messenger, right? Jesus Christ. See, it's funny, He's setting the one against the other. Jesus Christ is perfect. As a matter of fact, absolutely perfect and sinless. You couldn't do it, so I'll send my Son and He'll do it. You see? I'm going to make it happen. Couldn't do it with you, I'll do it with Him. And interestingly, when we talk about real justice, we talk about blind justice. Jesus is blind to the things that blind them and sees the things they cannot see. It's an exact contrast, one against the other. When Jesus Christ was here on the earth, He came to be baptized of John. And John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Which is true. Jesus Christ was certainly the greater. And what did Jesus say? He said, suffer it to be so for now to fulfill all righteousness. After He was baptized, there was a voice that came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 21 says, well pleased. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ said, one jot or one tittle shall not, fail from the law until all shall be fulfilled. He magnified that law. The rich young ruler came to Him and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, keep the commandments. Jesus Christ never violated the law. He always upheld it, and He said, I have come that He might fulfill that law. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, they, that is the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You don't do it, I'll do it. That's Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. He magnifies the law, and when he judges righteous judgment based on the law, not based upon what he sees or what he hears. Let me show you a couple of verses referring to Jesus Christ. Turn first of all to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And look with me at verse 24. The Pharisees were all upset with Jesus Christ. John chapter 7, verse 24. The Pharisees were all upset with Jesus Christ because He healed a man on the Sabbath day. They thought that meant He violated the law. John chapter 7, verse 24. And so the Lord says in verse 23 of John chapter 7, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Not based upon what it looks like, but based upon what it is in the law. See the difference? Go back to Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah and look at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, we're reading about Jesus Christ beginning in verse 1. We want verses 3 and 4. But in verse 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, that's David's father, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now look at verse 3. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. See that? He doesn't get caught up in the trap that Israel got in because he's not going to use his eyes and ears to make the judgment. He's going to be open to the understanding of the righteousness of the law and judge that way, which is what they should have done. And then they would have been able to see. And they would have been able to observe. You know what Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees? I'll just read this to you because I had you over there and I don't want to take the time to go back. He said, "Why do you not understand my speech?" Listen, "even because you cannot hear my word." It's just like talking to your children. In one ear and out the other. Okay, come back to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 and look at verse 22. He says, that's the way it is going to be with my messenger. But look at this, verse 22. "This is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth, for a spoil and none saith, restore." Now this is an amazing thing because listen, God got Israel out of Egypt, right? And put them in the promised land so they could be free. They could rule themselves, and they would not be attacked by their enemies. And they said, "If you are attacked, one of you shall chase 1,000, and two of you shall put 10,000 to flight. I'm going to protect you." Right? But suddenly you look at Israel, and he says, "You're robbed, you're spoiled, you're snared, you're in prison, you're for a prey, and nobody delivers you." And that's so contrary to what he said he was going to do for them when he put them in the land of Israel. This will be easier for you when you have an opportunity to go to the website to see the cross references. But you know that thing that happened with Hitler in Israel was a terrible thing to the Jews, right? They were robbed and they were spoiled. 6 million Jews died at his hand. The Germans were so ruthless, the Nazis were so ruthless that before they would send them into the gas chambers, they would pull teeth to get gold. They stole every possession and then they killed them. That's the result of what you're reading here in the scripture. The rejection of God, the turning to an idol. When Nebuchadnezzar came into Judah, in 2 Kings chapter 24, and 2 Kings chapter 25, he stole everything. He took the treasures out of the king's house. He took the treasures out of the palace. When he came back another time, he took the pillars. He took all the brazen dishes. You know that he took all the vessels of worship for God that were in the house of the Lord, because Belshazzar, his grandson, was drinking out of them the night that he found out his kingdom was going to fall. Robbed and spoiled. Snared in holes and imprisoned. As a matter of fact, King Jehoiakim was taken by Nebuchadnezzar and imprisoned in Babylon, and about, I don't know, 30 some odd years into the captivity, Erodach Baladan came in and raised him up out of the prison and then set him up to be the principal of all those that had been taken captive. That guy spent decades in prison and hiding in holes, Jeremiah says, and taken as a prey. Let me just show you two other verses here. Jeremiah 16. Look at verse 15 and 16.